darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hi, Alex McFarland here. Good evening, America. It is a great honor to be with you on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm sitting in for attorney, pastor, journalist, broadcaster, colleague, and friend, Abe Hamilton III. And I'm very honored to be sitting in for Abe. We've got a great show today. I want to talk about some headlines. And, you know, already, even though we're only just under 60 days in, they're talking about Trump's, you know, first 100 days. Are things moving too quickly? Are things moving in the right direction? Are things not moving in the right direction? And hey, maybe even what about Tesla stock? You know, you're seeing in the news how the Cybertrucks and Tesla charging stations are being vandalized. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? Just months ago, Tesla EVs were the darling product of green, conscientious, left-leaning Americans, and now they're getting trashed and vandalized. What do you think about that? I want to take some calls, and midway through the show, we've got a great friend, Christian thinker Caleb Collier, that will be on with us. But right now, I would love to hear from you, and we can talk about the state of the nation. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you want to call in, we would love to take calls. Now, just a little bit of update. I've got some updates about what's been going on in my world. We were 2.5 weeks ago at National Religious Broadcasters, NRB, and that was a great thing. I was there broadcasting, and there were, you know, a lot of AFA people there, and then we had the privilege of interviewing Eric Metaxas and Dr. Robert Jeffers from First Baptist Dallas, and then people like Eric Metaxas and Jenna Ellis. It was really, really fun. And I went from there to Wichita, Kansas. We had a great event out there. I was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so God is so good. Let me make you aware, if you don't mind, listen carefully, of a couple of things we've got going on. Summertime's coming. And I've got 7 youth camps that we do. You know, we do youth camps every summer. And they're all over Montana, Georgia. The website for my youth biblical worldview camps is equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. And we'll have about 1,200 teenagers. And we have kids get saved every summer. I mean, that's the main message, is believe in Jesus and be saved. But you know, we talk about citizenship. You know, all the things we talk about on American Family Radio, we talk about, you know, being a citizen and living for Christ, salt and light in the culture. And let me just say, the kids eat it up. By the way, good news about the increase in Bible sales. Maybe you've seen this, that the sale of God's Word is going up, and the people buying the Bibles are mostly younger, late teens and 20-somethings. But our camps are flourishing. And I guess I would like to believe that after 25 years of doing all these youth camps, you know, maybe a little bit of the turnaround and the turn away from secularism back to Christianity, church involvement, family, faith. Maybe God's allowing what we're doing to play a small role in that. But here's what I was going to tell you. We've got a camp in the Richmond area, and we've never done this before, but we rented a camp in, it's an hour from Richmond, and we really need to succeed with that camp. And so look on the website, if you would, equipretreat.org, and wherever we are in your part of the USA, come summer. Well, let's sign up some middle school and high schoolers to go to camp. The other thing, and then I'm going to go to calls, and we've got some a number of people calling in, 888-589-8840. I have a speaker series. So, you know, we do a lot for the teens. Well, we've got something for grown-ups too. I call this Conversations That Matter. Now, listen very carefully. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, number one resort town in America, 17.2 million people a year from all 50 states, they go to Myrtle Beach. So there are music theaters down there, kind of like Branson, Missouri, right? So I've rented theaters, and we've got speakers. All right, May 4th, we have Dinesh D'Souza. Amazing, brilliant. Dinesh served in the Reagan White House. He made some great films like 2000 Mules. Well, in person, Dinesh will be there May 4th. And so the website for all my speakers, August 21, Charlie Kirk. Okay, we just went live with the website this morning. And it's alexmcfarland.com/conversations. That's the website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. Just went live with his website this morning, and we've already sold 36 tickets for Charlie Kirk, and that's not till August. But we really want to start strong, so please, if you or anyone you know is in the Myrtle Beach area for May 4th, come out and hear Dinesh D'Souza. And I've got much more to say about that. I've got two luncheons. Free lunch, lunches on me, to promote the speaker series. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But right now, I want to go to Joe in Ohio. First caller of the night, the Hamilton Corner, Alex McFarland. Joe from Ohio, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. McFarland, thank you for all that you do and filling in. And yeah, I support Trump 110%. I support Musk 110%. It shouldn't be surprising that the liberals condone the violence, whether it's in the riots that 556 riots they had the one summer, or the violence that the October 7th attack on Israel, but that's what they condone and that's what they push, and I just support all of them. I mean, they attack everybody. You know, Trump, of course, is their number one enemy, and now it's Musk. But what the ironic thing is, a lot of times they are attacking, like they're burning down. The cities they were burning down were liberal-run cities.
I know.
By destroying the EV, and a lot of the liberals were the ones that purchased the EVs in the first place. So now all the liberals that bought the EVs are not going to be able to charge them because they're damaging their charging station. So it's kind of ironic to see the liberals attack the liberals. Just like Joe Biden. Once Joe Biden was no longer a useful idiot for them, they threw him under the bus. So it's typical. But I support all the conservatives. Kash Patel. He'll eventually come under attack, I'm sure. Pam Bondi's under attack. Rudy Giuliani. I mean, go right down the list. It shouldn't surprise any of us, but God bless you and what you do, and keep getting the word out.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe. God bless you. Well, we're just passionate about truth, passionate about Christ and his word, but passionate about this country. And, you make a really good point that the liberals cannibalize each other. I mean, they really do. And let me just say this in the big scheme of things, that very often the left, they use the tools of liberty to undermine liberty. I think about this. The left is, tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. And yet they would not tolerate the religion of America's founders that gave us a diverse, tolerant America. Now, there are limits to diversity, but here's the rub. We have a Judeo-Christian representative republic. It is not a democracy. That's mob rule. When Plato wrote The Republic, among other things, 22 centuries ago, it was really a warning against this pervasive democracy that's really like mob rule. We have basically a Presbyterian form of government. In the Presbyterian Church, the members appoint elders, and the elders, in a conscientious way, represent the constituents. Well, that's what our Congress and House are like. It's a representative republic. But here's what the left is doing, and many of them, they don't realize this, but they are contributing to really a perpetual state of unrest, turmoil, anarchy, and that is straight out of the playbook of Marxism. We're going to talk more about that, using the tools of freedom to dismantle freedom. We can't let that go unchecked. Let's go to Victor from Louisiana. Victor, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner with your grateful host, Alex McFarland.
Hello, Alex. How are you today?
I'm glad to hear from you.
Okay. Well, Alex, you asked about the state of America today, and I just had a quick little statement. The Bible tells us that if we gain the whole world, or what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And I think that as the election was coming and it now has gone, you know, we may be losing some things financially, and we have to work around that. But I believe that if we would have lost this election, meaning that if the Democrats would have won the election, our nation would be losing its soul with all the craziness that they were pushing. And I just want to, you know, tell people, you know, let's keep our hands tied with God. Let's make sure our faith is in Him and not a man, but in God. And then allow God to continue to move with America. You know, the Bible tells us that God sets up kings and puts down kings. So we have to go along with what God is doing, and you know, pray for our leaders and do what we have to do. But I believe our nation was morally saved with our last election, and that's all I want to say.
Well said. You know, you quote the verse from Mark 8 there. I think it's Mark 8:36. About, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? You know, isn't it funny? Now, folks, think about this. Several years ago at one of the Democrat conventions, God was booed. They booed God. And there's just been the imposition and the advocacy for so many things that, besides being bad economics and bad government, I mean, so much of what the militant woke left has stood for is just ungodly. And look, I get it. My home is heaven. My king is Jesus. But thank God that this election did not go to Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. Because I can promise you, Kamala Harris would not have been acting president, and Tim Walz would not have been vice president. Basically, the Biden, I firmly believe, and I've got this from pretty good sources, that Biden's presidency was really Barack Obama's third term, de facto, and Kamala would have been his fourth. Now, one of my favorite quotes from January 20th, Trump's inauguration speech, my favorite line of that speech, Trump said, quote, "I want Congress to pass a bill permanently banning and criminalizing sex changes on children, and forever ending the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body. This is a big lie, and our message to every child in America is that you are perfect, exactly the way God made you." End of quote. Thank God that truth, morality, courage, and constitutionalism is coming back to our nation. It's not going to be a smooth ride. It's a rough ride, but we've got to be brave and bold and speak truth and pray. Well, we've got a break. We're going to come back. More calls, more content on this edition of the Hamilton Corner with Alex McFarland on the American Family Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23.
Hi, this is Jim Scudder for today's Moment in Grace. Imagine trekking through a desert, parched and weary, with no end in sight. Then someone offers you a tall, ice-cold glass of lemonade. That first sip would be pure refreshment. Life often feels like a desert, burnt out by news of wars, disasters, and darkness. We wonder if things will ever improve. But God doesn't want us to crawl through life parched. Staying close to Him through prayer, His Word, and fellowship refreshes our souls. As the hymn says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." No matter how troubled the world feels, refreshment is always within reach. Look to Jesus and be renewed.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about news of the day from a biblical perspective. Alex McFarland here. Hey, I'm very excited. In just a few moments, I'll bring to the mic Caleb Collier, colleague and friend and journalist. But, you know, before the break, I was talking about how the left uses the tools of a constitutional free republic, but they do things that undermine constitutionalism and freedom. And, you know, regarding things like the gay marriage, that so many churches are going woke these days. You know, June 26, 2015, the Obergefell versus Hodges landmark decision. You know what's so wild is? That was a 5-4 Supreme Court decision. And I was just on a show yesterday, and I was being asked about, you know, why evangelical Christians would oppose gay marriage. And they said, you know, you don't have the right to cram your Bible beliefs down everybody's throat. Well, set aside the Bible for a moment, if you would. And obviously, I believe the Bible, and the Bible is the holy word of God. But gay marriage, the allegedly trans rights, and just forcing the average citizen to agree with things that they find morally abhorrent and factually incorrect, it's unconstitutional because our Constitution affirms what is called natural law, and we have natural rights based on natural law. Now, when Jefferson talked about these enumerated rights of the citizen, and the founders talk about the enumerated rights of the government, you don't have artificial rights, contrived rights, beyond the rights promised by the Declaration and Constitution. Okay, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, right? Okay, we have legal protection for the unborn because one of the inalienable rights is the right to life. That's why when I'm in front of a secular group, I argue my pro-life position, as did my friend, the late atheist Christopher Hitchens. He was not a Christian, sadly, but he was an ardent pro-lifer because he said, look, you have the legal protection, the guaranteed right to life. And there's no legitimate reason that a subset of the citizenry should be selectively piecemeal at loss of one of their rights. Now, when it comes to the quote-unquote right for gay marriage, the quote-unquote right that a cake baker should be forced to do a cake for a gay wedding, the alleged right for children to be placed in same-sex homes, those are not natural rights. Those might be well-argued, sophisticatedly marketed special rights, artificial rights, contrived rights. But our Constitution is based on natural law, and therefore you are protected with your natural rights, rights that are applicable for all citizens. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, that's applicable to all people. The right for your chosen pronoun and a male, the whole rest of the world must be legally coerced to call a male a female, that's not a right that a person can claim, and that's not an obligation that the rest of us should be forced to shoulder. Well, we're going to talk more about this with my friend Caleb Collier.
Caleb, thanks for holding.
And thanks for being with us today. Caleb, where are you patching in from today, if I might ask?
I am in my beautiful home out in the country in Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington. How's the political landscape in the upper Northwest?
Well, we affectionately refer to this as the left coast. And yeah, I feel like Washington, Oregon, and California are in a constant competition to outdo themselves with their leftist policies. And oftentimes I'll refer to Washington State as kind of the little brother of California, kind of looking up to California and, hey, you're going to do that? All right, I'm going to do that too.
And seeing maybe who can out-liberal the other.
Yeah, it certainly happens. We're currently fighting a number of really bad bills in Olympia. They're even potentially looking at giving the legislative body the ability to remove constitutionally elected sheriffs. So, it's a fight out here.
I've got so many things I want to ask you, and listeners, maybe you've got a question or you want to weigh in on this politically infused broadcast as well. But Caleb, before we go too much farther, tell everybody about the church and state broadcast. And I know you're soon to be, if you're not already, on NRB television. Congratulations on that. But tell us about church and state.
Yeah, thank you. In fact, we are on the NRB TV network, been so for about a week now. And you can find us East Coast time, 4:30 there. But it's a half-hour broadcast. I'm a former politician. I'm a Marine veteran, a former EMT as well. And I've worked for a number of different political organizations. So I'm tackling the church and state and refuting the old mindset of there needs to be a separation between the two.
Were you always a political conservative, or did you come to this position, as did many of us?
You know, I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh, you know, the great one. And yes. I'd say I was probably always conservative leaning back in high school and even in the Marine Corps. I didn't necessarily care much about politics, but I served in the Marine Corps during 9/11. And watching those planes hit the towers was really a wake-up call for me.
Well, it was for me as well. It was for me as well. And, you know, folks, let me say this. The time that we need to stir our patriotic sensibilities is before a crisis happens. I mean, really, 9/11 moved a lot of people toward patriotism, I think. You know, Caleb, I think that the lockdowns and the quarantines and the vaccine mandate alerted a lot of people to government overreach. But don't you think it's important to, JFK said this, I love this, John F. Kennedy said, the time to repair the roof is while the sun is shining. Now, wouldn't it be better, folks, for us to lean in close to the Lord, learn about our nation, teach patriotism to our kids. Let's stand up for God and country while we have an opportunity, rather than before the crisis threatens our very future.
I completely agree, Alex, on that one. And I was listening in a little bit on what you were talking about with natural law. And I love that. And one of the things that I really push my audience for is to stop allowing government or the state to infringe upon rights that aren't really theirs or the authority that it don't have. And so in regards to what you were talking about with gay marriage, the solution is pretty simple. It's the free market. And if we really examine who instituted marriage, well, we know it's God. As Christians, God instituted marriage. That's not a state authority. It's the church's authority. And so if we throw that to the free market and we allow churches to determine who they're going to marry, well, sure, you might have some outliers, some within the woke church that are marrying homosexuals. And on the other end, those who actually abide by what God said, they won't. And the people then will get to dictate which church they're going to support. And I have a theory on that. I believe that most Christians are going to side with the Word of God.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the rise of homosexual activity and the call, the push for gay marriage, and sadly, there's some woke churches that have really caved on what the Bible says. Besides, I mean, what the Bible says, but there's just what is really known and promised by natural law. Let me just say this. It's been the breakdown of the family for the last 50 years. It's been the sexualizing of the culture, the permissiveness. Since 1966, folks, there was a man named Joseph Fletcher, and he wrote a book called Situation Ethics, The New Morality. And situation ethics, there were others, but there were a lot of theologians and philosophers that after World War II, they were believing that, you know, morality is relative, not absolute. Life is whatever you want it to be, not what the call of God and the rule of law might, you know, say that we ought to observe. And so that's why, Caleb, the 60s, and I know you do a lot of study, I've done a lot of study as well, I truly think the 60s were the most pivotal decade. Because, I mean, you think about it, when the 60s began, you know, Lucy and Ricky were on TV and they couldn't even say the word pregnant. When the 60s ended, by 1970, it was the Woodstock generation, there was the drug revolution, the sexual revolution, the breakdown of the family, there was the rise of feminism and sex outside of marriage. By 1973, legal protection for the unborn was removed. Here's my point. Don't you really believe that we're kind of rebuilding after many foundations that were destroyed in the 60s, and yet for five decades, the culture has been sort of adrift? What you and I are doing, and we're calling on everybody to prayerfully participate in, is frankly rebuilding foundations, the destruction of which was initiated decades ago.
I am right there with you. You know, I wasn't born till 78, so I didn't experience any of the 60s. But my parents were part of that. My dad most certainly engaged in the hippie culture. And it really shouldn't surprise us. You know, the Marxists had begun this plan prior to the 60s, and they infiltrated all of the systems, the education system, the religious system, the political system. And they brought about these changes. I mean, it's why every single despot throughout history has always targeted the youth. And if you doubt me on that, you can look at Hitler, you can look at Stalin, you can look at Mao. All of them targeted the youth to bring about their cultural revolutions. And so, yes, I do agree with you, Alex. I see there was a pivot. I think you brought up COVID before. I think COVID may have been a bridge too far for Americans, that they woke up and realized, and they were witnessing the police state that had been built around them. And I think collectively we kind of said, no, not again. And I hope we can hold on to that. I'm praying that we can hold on to that, that if tyranny raises its ugly head, whether it be a, you know, a medical crisis, I mean, they famously said, never let a good crisis go to waste. So yeah. Whatever the crisis may come, I hope that we as Americans band together and say, no, we're standing for what is true and what is right.
Indeed, indeed. Folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here. The voice you're hearing is my colleague and friend, Caleb Collier of the Church and State broadcast. Before a break, we've got time for a call. Let's go to Dennis from Missouri. Dennis, thanks for holding. Dennis, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you, Mr. McFarland, for all that you do. I love listening to you guys and you and Bert, and congratulations on your guests. My question may seem a little strange, but I'm kind of wondering, with the way things are going from a liberal perspective, does your guest sense or feel that California, Oregon, and Washington would ever try to secede from the Union?
Wow, great question. Caleb, the left coast, might there be an attempt at secession?
This is an idea that's been floated for quite some time, both from the left and the right, and there's been some talk of a national divorce. I got to tell you, Alex, if there is one, I'm heading down to your area. The South is, you know, there might be something said for the South shall rise again. I don't necessarily see this as something that is going to work. I don't think they're going to allow the United States to split. And in fact, I'm kind of watching with great interest the United Nations and the World Economic Forum with their plan to create these 10 regions, the 10 regions plan, which sounds eerily similar to Revelation. But their idea, their concept right now is to merge the United States with Canada, oh, and with Greenland. Where have we heard that in the local news lately?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And thank you for the call, Dennis. You know, I pray America doesn't break up. You know, I know that it's said that Texas has the right to secede. I've actually had people say that they don't. I don't know about that. But I really do think that it would be tragic if America broke apart. Because, you know, think about this, folks. When Jefferson had the Louisiana Purchase and that bridge of land from the Gulf of America to the Canadian border, really, that middle portion of the nation, I think the Louisiana Purchase was like $13 million, which at the time, I mean, some in Congress just vilified Jefferson for negotiating that. And Napoleon was vilified, and France said he didn't have the authority to be a part of that deal. But here's the thing, manifest destiny. And let me invoke this, and Caleb, you and I, maybe after the break, we can talk about American exceptionalism. But we were able to go from sea to shining sea because of the unity of this continent. And I think, and I pray for the redemption of California and the blue states, but I think it would be tragic if America broke into fragments. What do you say, Caleb?
I agree with your mindset on that. When the conservatives are talking about this, you know, they have some good talking points and it sounds attractive. But the reality is America is a great country. And yes, do we have some problems? And are there some very problematic states within the country? Absolutely. But it would be a shame to let all that go to waste. What our founding fathers built, this beautiful republic, and all of the rights of the states. Yes. So no, I'm not in agreement that that we should I don't know, latch on to this idea.
Yeah. Hey, hang on, folks. Got a brief break. 888-589-8840. When we come back, call us.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Caleb Collier of the Church and State broadcast. And I want to get back to that. Let me say, Caleb is going to be with us in September. You know, I mentioned we've got this speaker series that, listen, we're really excited about. And we are so passionate. And part of the reason I'm taking a little time to mention the speaker series, look, nobody's making any money off of this. We're doing this for God and country. If you go to the website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations, okay? All right, May 4th, we've got Dinesh D'Souza. Then June 15, we've got Dr. Gary Chapman, and we're going to be talking about the future of the American family. He wrote The Five Love Languages, just one of the greatest books. Every husband, you need to read Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Then Thursday night, August 21, Charlie Kirk. And what a great day that will be. And then in September, we've got Lauren Green of Fox News. She's amazing. She is just one of the great journalists of our day and a Christian. And in that one, the I believe it's September 15, we're going to have a roundtable about the future of the church in America. And Caleb Collier will be a part of our panel that night there in Myrtle Beach. So if you would, please pray, promote, plan to attend. But here's the thing. If you happen to be around Myrtle Beach, okay, I know right now we're being heard in Wilmington, Dillon, Florence, Myrtle Beach, Conway, Charleston, all around that region. Okay, listen to this. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but just hang with me. On Wednesday, March 26, and Thursday, March 27, I'm buying you lunch, people. We're having two free lunches to promote the speaker series. Now, one is in North Myrtle, right there near the Alabama Theater, where we're having Charlie Kirk. And one is in South Myrtle. If you want to come to lunch, and I'll give you one of my books, I'll feed you really good. Just email us, info@alexmcfarland.com. I-N-F-O, info@alexmcfarland.com, March 26, March 27. And these are lunches where we're going to give you info about the speaker series. And we're going to ask you to tell your friends, you want to understand politics? Come and hear and meet Dinesh D'Souza. You want to learn about building a great family? Come hear Gary Chapman. You want to be excited about the saving of our nation? Come and see and hear Charlie Kirk. You want to learn about what the importance of the church? Come and hear Lauren Green and Caleb Collier. Okay, enough about that. We got a lot of great stuff going on. I see some calls that we'll get to. But Caleb, tell us about the Church and State broadcast and where people can keep up with the great work you're doing for this country.
Yeah, thank you for that. Our website is churchandstate.media. You can go to that website. We have all of our shows. You can also find us on Rumble, Church and State 1776, and then of course on the NRBTV network, where we air on the East Coast there at 4:30 Tuesday through Fridays. So please check us out. And I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a controversial host, and I am genuinely curious, and we'll talk about anything.
Huh. Well, sometimes the truth is controversial, but you're a great voice, and I learn from listening to you, Caleb. I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to go to Barb in Colorado. Barb in Colorado, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
All right. Thanks, Alex. My question is, do you see the New World Agenda moving forward?
Oh, wow. Hey, is this Barb Reich in Colorado?
Yes, it is.
God
yes,
bless you.
It is.
Okay. Now, hang tight. Now, Barb, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. I've got to throw it to you, Barb. Tell us about the illustrious career of your daughter, Rachel, because she does work with Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, she actually produced, co-produced and directed Letter to the American Church. She's an extremely talented producer, I have to say. And the film was shown all over the country at thousands of churches before the election, because that was their main goal, is to get it out there before the election so that the church would wake up. and hopefully, and which they did, they voted for the right person. So,
amen.
Yeah, and now she has her own production company in California with her co-producer, Simone, and they're working on a couple of projects.
You know, Barb, that's got to be very meaningful to you. I mean, that book and documentary, Letter to the American Church, Eric Metaxas, and I had the privilege of interviewing your daughter. I mean, she helped move the needle, didn't she?
Yes. Yes, she did. Yes. She was very passionate, extremely passionate about it. So she did really well. She worked very, very hard and had a lot of things come against her, but she pushed through. And it happened. So I'm very, very proud of her.
Well, if you would repeat your question for Caleb and myself about New World.
Do you see the New World Agenda moving forward?
Wow. You know, Caleb, you and I were talking about the regions and, you know, geopolitical boundaries. Speak to this if you would, and then I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, that's a great question, Barb. And let me just say this as well. Every person listening to this should go and buy two copies of Letter to the American Church, one for yourself and one for your pastor. I know when I read it, I turned around and reread it. It's that good of a book. So hats off to your daughter for being a part of that. To answer your question, yes. In short, yes, I do see the New World Order agenda moving forward. You know, I hope and pray that there are people in the Trump administration that can lead him a little bit more towards the Christian doctrine, towards what we believe and what we see in the book of Revelation specifically. But, you know, he's in meetings. He's calling Klaus Schwab a great guy. He's pushing for this North American merging of Canada becoming the 51st state and buying Greenland, which is part of their 10 regions plan. You know, Elon Musk, obviously we didn't vote for, but has a lot of authority now within the United States government. He's a transhumanist. He wants to put chips in our brains with the BRICS nations and working towards this central bank digital currency. I mean, there's a lot of things that are in play here right now that are all pushing towards that beast system that's described in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, and let me just say this. There are no things that necessarily have to take place before the rapture. I believe the next event on world history is the rapture, after which will come a seven-year tribulation and a battle of Armageddon. And, you know, Caleb, when I read in the book of Revelation about, you know, no one can buy or sell without the mark of the beast in either the hand or the forehead, I mean, my goodness, the planet is so wired up, and it's basically a global surveillance state right now. Even. And, you know, you and I haven't talked about this, but all of these drones flying over, and, you know, just back during the election, there were drones over New Jersey and all over the country. I mean, we see things in the nighttime sky that just weren't there before. This world could be under this Marxist, atheistic, dystopian police state like very, very, with shocking speed, couldn't it?
I think we're already there. I mean, we had a story that I read about in China where they took an individual and they gave him 24 hours to go and hide in Beijing. And then they were going to release the police state on him, the surveillance state. They found that man in 7 minutes. That's how good the surveillance system is. Now, granted, that's in communist China. But I mean, we all carry these phones around with us. We're so involved with tech these days that truly nothing we do or say is ever really private anymore. And yeah, I mean, with the drones, I mean, there's still a lot of mystery there. Are they drones? Or I mean, they alien aircraft? Now, personally, Alex, I believe that anytime anybody's having an encounter with an alien, they're dealing with a demon.
Yeah, I agree completely.
But yeah, I mean, you got CERN out here. They're trying to, they literally said, I don't know if you saw the opening ceremonies with CERN in Switzerland, one of the most demonic things you could possibly ever imagine. But they said they're trying to break through into a portal Once again, reminiscent of what's talked about in Revelation with the keys to the abyss.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why we say, look, folks, have your house in order. Know Christ. I hope your family and your kids know the Lord. Listen, I love life, and I'm planning, if God allows, to be preaching when I'm 100 years old, if Christ hasn't come back yet. But where we are, Caleb, I look to the eastern sky. Any day now, I think we could see the return of Jesus, really. We're going to go to Kay in Kansas. Kay, are you still holding? Kay, are you there?
Yes. Oh, can you hear me okay?
We can. Welcome. Okay. Thanks for holding.
I'm sorry. I had you on speakerphone. I'm cooking dinner, so anyway, just taking a little pause here. But I thank you, Alex, and I think, is it Caleb there? Thank you for your ministries. I just so appreciate it. I do have to say I'm not a pre-trib rapture believer because of John 6 and the four statements there the Lord says about the last day. And we know that in the Olivet Discourse, he's going to shorten that great tribulation. We don't know how much. But here's what I want to say. No matter what happens, I love what you're talking about. I love that you are addressing this because it's not getting addressed enough, I don't think. But I think our biggest national crisis is the lack, and this sounds odd coming from a woman, so please forgive me, but it's that Christian men are not running for office. And we also need our churches to be healthy. We need healthy churches, God-fearing men, to go out to other churches that are unhealthy, because we carry the gospel, which we need to do that too. But where are the people going to go to church? You know, we need to get our churches healthy. But here's a quote from I read just real quick, and then I'm done. From Matthew Henry's commentary, and I think it was when I was reading through Jeremiah that he said this, and he said, and it just stuck with me. He said, if God's people ill use a reprieve they've been given, they are saving up for a worse judgment. It's an all hands on deck time. And thank you for taking my call. Thank you so much, and God bless you, men.
God bless you. Wow. Comments. What a great call. Thank you so much. Caleb, what do you say?
Yeah, I hate to disagree with you ever, Alex, but I'm actually in Kay's camp there. I'm not a pre-trib rapture guy myself. I point more towards a mid-tribulation, specifically more of that seventh trumpet rapture idea. So I do think we're going to see some of these things that we're going to have to live through that. But regardless, and obviously this is a secondary issue, it's not a salvation issue.
Sure.
I want to see people's hearts being right with the Lord, regardless of where you feel, you know, you're going to go through some of it. You're not going to go through some of it. I agree with so much of what Kay was saying. And, I'll give a little teaser, Alex, you know, talking about the state of the church, men's role within the church and within the political theater as well. That's something we're going to hit hard in, Myrtle Beach there. Yes. Talking about the state of the church.
Exactly. And, you know, folks, the point of orthodoxy on which all Christians agree is that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and Jesus will literally return. And until he does, we need to occupy and be salt and light. And I'm going to say it like my mentor, Josh McDowell, says it. I'm on my way to heaven, and I want to take as many people with me as I can. Hey, time fleets away, but I'm going to see if we can get Michael from Arkansas. Hey, Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here, I think.
Huh. Yeah, welcome. Quickly, if you don't mind, but thank you for holding. What you got, Michael?
Yes, it is just a comment on how sometimes we tend to ignore all the secular systems and mechanisms in which the church has been absorbed in the beginnings, including, you know, a lot of the Greek concepts on how to organize ourselves. And it seems today that sometimes we get caught into this two-side battle of like communism and capitalism. And sometimes when I see from the side of me, just a normal worker, I do music sometimes. And
hey, forgive me. I beg your forgiveness, Michael. I'm sorry to jump in. We're almost out of time. Hey, you know what? We're in the world. we're making a difference. We know our home is in heaven. You know, I've said it many times, like Augustine would have said 1600 years ago, till we're in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man. Caleb Collier, you're amazing. I appreciate your insight so much. What's next for you? Are you on tour? Are you speaking somewhere?
No, just really focusing on the NRB TV network, really building that up, and got a lot of great guests coming on, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, please, to the audience here, go check out churchandstate.media and give us a follow on Rumble and X and Instagram, all those different social media apps.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.